The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so what he's talking about here, the basic principle is don't take advantage of people in your business dealings. Don't have one set of weights for one person and a different set of weights for a different person. Right? Or I'm going to quote one price to this person. I'm going to quote a different price to this person. I think I can get more money out of this guy than I can out of this guy. So I'm going to charge him more. That's stealing.
We all know thou shalt not steal. But other than driving off with someone's car or lifting their wallet out of their pocket, does it apply to anything else? Today, Pastor Dan shows that God is very specific about how we are to treat other people fairly. God's word goes into great detail about using honest weights and measures, and ultimately treating others as you would want them to treat you. You can have a clear conscience and good relationships with others when you thoroughly follow God's way. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Most people from this area who visit Florida, they visit South Florida, but the real part of Florida is North Florida, especially Northwest Florida. And there's a town in Northwest Florida called Vernon, Florida. It's a very small town, has a population of under 700 people. It's halfway between Pensacola and Tallahassee. And back in the 1960s, several of the residents of Vernon, Florida, entered into an insurance scam. Not a coordinated insurance scam, but the town was small enough that once one person ran the scam, other people in the town started doing the same thing. And what these people in Vernon, Florida would do is they would take out multiple personal injury insurance policies. And in some cases, it was like 28 or 38 different personal injury insurance policies from a bunch of different insurance companies. And they'd take out all of these personal injury policies, and then they would shoot off their hand or shoot off their foot with a shotgun and collect the insurance money. See, don't go to South Florida, go to North Florida. At one point, two-thirds of all the loss of limb accident claims in the United States were from the area of Vernon, Florida. This little town of 700 people. Vernon, Florida became known as Nub City. I'm serious. Because there were so many people that lived in that little town that were missing limbs from these insurance scams. Insurance companies stopped selling insurance policies in that part of Florida. Now, that may be an extreme example of fraud and dishonesty. But anytime we're dishonest for personal gain, we violate the Eighth Commandment. I was reading about the COVID relief funds that the federal government gave out to businesses, and they believe it is the largest fraud ever in history. Hundreds of billions of dollars were given to people fraudulently. People that went out and bought homes and boats and expensive cars with this. It's theft. Hundreds of billions of dollars. And people will justify it and say, well, everybody's doing it. Or, well, the government's taken plenty of my money, or they've got enough money. They won't miss it. It's theft. Look at verse 3 again. You're in Leviticus chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, if any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins. So you find something. and then you lie about it. You know, you find a wallet and you keep the money and say, well, when I found it, there was no money in it. Or you find a wallet and you say, no, I didn't find a wallet. Nobody left a wallet here. And what do we say? Finders keepers, right? Losers weepers. No, it's stealing. You're violating the eighth commandment if you lie for personal gain. Look at verse 4. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, cheated a person out of, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found and then lied about it, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, I swear to you, I didn't see your wallet. He shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And so, according to the law, you were to give it back to the person and give them 20% of its value on top of that. Elsewhere in the law, it talks about livestock. If you stole someone's livestock, you had to return fourfold back to the person you stole it from. If you remember in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you don't have to turn there, but in the Gospels, in Luke 19, there's the story of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And what did he do? Who remembers? Climbed up the sycamore tree, right? So that he could see Jesus. And then when Jesus passed by, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. So I'm going to your house today. And Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house for a meal, which Jesus often did. He'd like to just invite himself over for dinner, right? What's for dinner? And so he goes to Zacchaeus' house and he says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And the way that the tax collection worked is the Roman government would hire Jewish citizens and tell the Jewish citizens, we need you to pay us a certain amount of money, this amount of money each year in tax revenue. Anything you can collect above that is yours to keep. And so the tax collectors could set their own tax rate and they could change it per person. It wasn't a standard tax rate. And that's how tax collectors became wealthy. And tax collectors were hated by their fellow Jews. They were considered idol worshippers who worshiped the god Mammon. They were forbidden from entering the synagogue or entering the temple. That's why the crowd was really upset that Jesus would choose to go to the house of Zacchaeus, because he's a tax collector. And Zacchaeus, what does he say? He says, I'll return fourfold back to those that I have taken advantage of and stolen from. Where does he get that from? He's getting that from the Old Testament. He's acknowledging that he's been a thief and taking from people. And that's why he wants to restore it back. Now, you're in Leviticus. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Here's another example of breaking this eighth commandment. It says in verse 35, you shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length or weight or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments. So this is a law about business dealings and how we deal with others in our business. And he's saying you should have honest scales and honest weights and honest measures. And probably none of us here are dealing with weights and scales and measurements at work. Maybe you are. But the idea here is you should not have, in fact, I'll read it to you, over in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. Listen to this. You shall not have in your bag different weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so what he's talking about here, the basic principle is don't take advantage of people in your business dealings. Don't have one set of weights for one person and a different set of weights for a different person, right? Or I'm going to quote one price to this person. I'm going to quote a different price to this person. I think I can get more money out of this guy than I can out of this guy. So I'm going to charge him more. That's stealing. That's stealing. Don't cut corners in your work. Don't overcharge a customer just because you think you can. If you've lost money on a previous customer, don't try to make up for it by overcharging the next customer. Don't have a bunch of hidden fees. Don't you hate that? Right? You're quoted one price, and when you get to signing the contract or you get to make the purchase, and there's all these other fees there. What are all these fees? What does that even mean? That's stealing. It's being dishonest in your business dealings. Or if you're an employee and not an employer. If you're an employee, this is especially true for younger people, for teenagers, and for young adults. Put in a full day's work at your job. Don't come in late. Don't leave early without permission. Don't take longer than you're allowed to for lunch. When you're at work, don't stand around and not work. Don't surf the internet at work. Don't watch YouTube videos at work. Don't be texting at work. While you're at work, work. Now, not to sound like an old timer here, but I remember back before they had cell phones, you would ask your boss permission if you could make a personal phone call. And it was always very quick, right? And so if you're a young person and you have a job, maybe you're getting your first job this summer, when you're there at work, be there at work. And don't be on your phone. And don't waste the company's time, because that's a form of stealing. You're stealing from your employer. Don't falsify time cards or falsify reports or expense reports. Look at Leviticus 19, verse 13. Leviticus 19, verse 13. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. Isn't it amazing that God even has to write this down for us? Don't rip off your neighbor. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. What he's saying here is, if you owe someone money, give it to them. Pay them what you owe them. If you've agreed to an amount, pay them that amount. And don't make excuses.
You're listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City, Maryland. We'll return to the second half of today's message in a moment. But first, here's a word from Pastor Dan.
It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you through our radio ministry, Ring of Truth. Thank you for tuning in each day. Hey, I would love to hear from you. Will you take a moment to email me to tell me how these daily studies have ministered to you? I want to hear your story. You can email me through our website at calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Now let's join him again for the conclusion of today's edition of Ring of Truth.
And what are some other ways we can break the eighth commandment? If you borrow something, return it. Don't keep it. I'm terrible about this because I forget that I've borrowed something. It's usually books. But the idea is, don't take something and plan, well, I'm not going to give this back. I'm just going to keep it. That's stealing. If you borrow money, which, number one, you shouldn't borrow money because the borrower is slave to the lender. But that's a different sermon for a different time. But if you borrow money, pay it back. Pay it back as you agreed to do. You know, we can also steal someone's reputation through gossip, through slander. We can steal their reputation. We can also steal someone's purity. We can steal someone's innocence. We can defraud our spouse of intimacy. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about that. 1 Corinthians 7 tells the husband to render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. And then it says, and do not deprive one another. That word deprive is the word rob. Don't rob your spouse of the affection that is due to them in the marriage. Again, this is not intended to be an exhaustive list of ways we can break the eighth commandment. We can steal credit or take credit for someone else's work. Or take credit for something that someone else has done, the recognition for their work, and not give credit where credit is due. We can plagiarize. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, it says in verse 12 that you know this passage. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of what? Thieves." People would come to Jerusalem, especially during the different Jewish feasts, to seek God, to worship. The religious leaders had created this whole religious racket that they were operating there in the temple. So if you were a pilgrim coming there, you wanted to come worship God, and maybe you brought a lamb with you from home, your best lamb, you're going to sacrifice it to God as an act of worship. You show up there at the temple, the priest inspects your lamb, and he would find some kind of flaw or defect in it and tell you, "Well, you can't sacrifice this lamb, but we'll buy it off you for pennies on the dollar. And you can buy one of our lambs, which had an exorbitant price on it." So now you're already ticked off, right, before you even go into worship, because you just got robbed by the priest. And now you go in, you got to pay fee, you got to exchange your money, you have to have temple currency. And it was this whole scam that the religious leaders were operating, and they were taking advantage of people that were genuinely seeking God and wanting to worship God. And Jesus calls them thieves. You've turned the temple into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a place where people can come and pray and seek God, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. And so there can be religious thieves. There can be thieves in the church who take advantage of people and steal from people that are seeking God and fleece the flock and exploit people who are genuinely seeking after Jesus Christ. And they know that. And so they take advantage of them and they exploit them. Another passage for us, Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there. Ephesians 4:28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Here's the remedy for stealing. The remedy for stealing is working. Stop stealing and start working. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things pass away. Everything's made new. Stealing is part of the old man. Stealing is part of the old way. Taking advantage of people is part of the old man. Working the system is part of the old man. And when we come to Christ, we put off the old man. And instead of stealing, we work. We don't take from others. We work. If you're able to work, work. Bible says those that don't work and provide for their own are worse than a non-believer. And look again at what it says. You work so that you have to give to others in need. And so now, instead of stealing, we're giving. Now, instead of stealing, we're generous with what we've earned through our labor. So generosity is the opposite of stealing. And remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so if you're storing up treasure in heaven by your generosity, by giving to others and giving to the work of the Lord, guess what? Your heart will be set on heaven. And your heart will be set on eternal things, because where your treasure goes, your heart will follow. Over in Acts, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 20, I'll just read it to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 33, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me." Paul says, "I didn't covet any of your money. I wasn't trying to take anything from you." And he says, "You yourselves know that these hands," maybe he held up his hands as he said that, "my hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. And I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" And that's true. It's more blessed to give than receive. And then when you work and you labor, you're laboring not only for yourself to provide for your own needs, but how can I give to the Lord? How can I use these resources, my times, my talent, my treasure, how can I use them now for the kingdom of God and be a blessing to others? In the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, again, you don't have to turn there, it talks about how we can rob God and steal from God by not giving. Everything we have is from God. What do we have that we did not receive from Him? We should use what we have for Him, you know, and be good stewards of the things that He's provided for us, and use all of our time and talent and treasure for Him, and be channels and not just reservoirs where we're just kind of taking it in kind of thing, right? And so this is like a kingdom way of thinking about work and about money and the resources that we have. We can also rob God of the glory that is due His name, take credit for what God has done. We can rob God's reputation by continuing in a lifestyle of sin and misrepresent God by saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm living this way that is contrary to what the Bible says a Christian should do. And I'm robbing God of His good reputation. So, just finally, if you want to turn with me one last place and we'll wrap it up. Luke chapter 23. And I suspect that in some way you have broken the eighth commandment. Maybe you have not held up a liquor store. Maybe you have. But in some way, you have stolen and taken what was not yours. Well, I want you to see here in Luke chapter 23, and by the way, by stealing, you are, and I am, by definition, thieves. You're a thief. I'm a thief. And I want you to see here in Luke chapter 23 that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, He was crucified between two, what? Thieves. He was numbered with transgressors, the Bible says. People like you and me, thieves. And look what happens here. In Luke chapter 23, verse 39, Jesus is on the cross. He's got a thief to His left and a thief to His right. And then one of the criminals, verse 39, who were hanged, blasphemed Jesus, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, on the other side, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? He just acknowledged that Jesus is God. Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation as God? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're getting what we deserve because we're criminals. We deserve to die for our sins. We deserve this punishment that we're getting. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus was without sin, making him the perfect spotless sacrifice for our sins. And then the thief turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knew that death would not be the end, and that there was a kingdom waiting for Jesus on the other side of the cross. And we don't know how he knew that, but he knew that. And so he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And look at what Jesus said to him. I'm sorry, no thieves allowed. No. Jesus said to him, assuredly, be assured of this. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We're all guilty of breaking the eighth commandment. We're all thieves. And Jesus forgives thieves. Jesus died for thieves. And Jesus welcomes thieves into his kingdom. Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came to die for sinners like us, that you came to die for thieves. We thank you, Jesus, that through your sacrifice on the cross, all of our sins are taken away. We thank you, Jesus, that you will welcome us into your kingdom, all of our sins blotted out. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
With everything you could have listened to today, we're honored you chose Ring of Truth. Whether it's your first time or your 100th time listening, we know that the Word of God brought a fresh perspective to your corner of the world. Did your faith grow with this message, or did it leave you with questions? If you find yourself with questions, please go to calvaryec.com to contact us so we can answer those questions. You can easily and securely fill out the form found under the Question tab. Columbia, Maryland is home base for Ring of Truth episodes, and we want you in our community. So if you're close, let's meet face-to-face. Sunday service times along with midweek service times are available on our website, calvaryec.com. Make sure to mark your calendar to come. For those of you too far away, don't be discouraged. Use our live stream to still be a part of our family. Don't leave our website without looking at the other resources we have provided to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Before our time is up, would you consider financially donating to this ministry? There are so many more lives to touch for Christ, but we can't do it alone. If you felt a tug at your heart to support us in this way, information can be found on our website, calvaryec.com. Come again for the next edition of Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft, and well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.